Making sure you do God's will in your life. Making sure you do God's will for your life. We want to put Matthew chapter 4 in context today. Obviously, Matthew chapter 4 is the account of the temptation of Christ. And we want to try to look at the bigger picture as we look at this, first of all. What was the bigger picture? Well, the big picture in Matthew chapter 4 is really was the devil was trying to get Christ not to go to the cross. That's what the devil was trying to do. The devil was trying to prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from the will of God in his life, in his person, that was to die upon Calvary's cross for our sin. We'll see that. But think about what was God's plan for the Lord Jesus. Well, the Lord Jesus gave God's will pretty much. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. John 1:29, John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The angel spoke of it in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. For they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus spoke of his will. Jesus said, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And then we think of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 where it says that for he verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus in eternity past. It was determined that he would come and die on Calvary's cross. Be the substitute for the sins of men. And as he came to this earth, we find that as he entered his ministry at the age of 30, right after his baptism, we recognize that we come to this context of the devil seeking to turn Jesus Christ away from doing the will of God. And God has a will for you. God has a plan for you. Now you might, in your life, your God's, wherever you are, you might be at that place where the first part of God's plan for your life is to be saved. And certainly, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has a plan that people be saved. the devil doesn't want you to do God's will. The devil's going to try to hinder you from doing God's will. As a Christian, God has a will for your life. And there are, what should I say? There are things that can take you away from God's will for your life. There are things that can take you out of God's will for your life. The Bible tells us there are things that are necessary for you if you're going to be in God's will for your life. The Bible tells us that God's will is, in Romans 12 and verse 2, it tells us that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. That God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. And we know that the devil is certainly trying to orchestrate things in your life to keep you out of God's will. But God also has some instructions about how essential instructions, how you can know God's will and be in God's will. So there's some there's some things to avoid so you don't lose God's will. There's also some things that to perform in your life if you are going to be in God's will. And so we're going to use the situation, Matthew chapter 4, as an introduction of the things to avoid that would cause you to lose God's will, or the things that could cause you to get out of God's will for your life. Now, first of all, we're going to look at the temptation of Christ, which is in that context of trying to get Christ not to be qualified to go to the cross, of keeping Christ from going to the cross. And so here in Matthew chapter 4, it tells us that it says in verse 3, and when the tempter, and that's Satan, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, the context, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Now, you might be hungry if you fast one day. You might be hungry if you fast 2 days. But Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And it was a clear statement that he hungered. And the devil comes up with a very simple proposal to the Lord Jesus. If thou be the Son of God, and the word if there is the context, is the idea, yeah, you know, since you're the Son of God, that's how we speak in English, since you're the Son of God, okay, you know, take care of this problem. You know what I mean? You're hungry. Take care of the problem. You know, you're the Son of God. You can do anything. Just turn this stone into bread right now, and you can solve the problem of your hunger. Well, what was he? Who is he telling to do? Well, he was telling him to go ahead of God's will. He was telling him to put his physical needs ahead of God's will for his life. He's hungry. He's the Son of God. No problem to make this stone into bread. Now, yes, God was going to take care of his physical needs. But it was going to be in God's time. And God was going to do it. But the devil says, let's do it now. Let's not wait. Let's take care of your physical needs right now. You can do it. Yep, and you know what? We can do it. We have a will. We can decide. We can decide, and many people lose God's will for their life by putting their physical needs ahead of God's will. Their physical needs ahead of God's will. God's will requires faith. God's will requires patience. You know, those physical needs, what could they be? They could be, well, food. They could be the things that provide food, a job. Those physical needs could be money that's needed for those needs. Those physical needs could be other related things, could be marriage, could be a multitude of rightful things, but put in front of God's will. Rightful things, but those rightful things put in front of God's will. And the devil, one of his favorite words is, do it now. Take care of it yourself. Don't trust God. Don't wait for God. Don't wait for God's plan. Don't wait for God's provision. Don't wait for God's provision for you. Don't wait. That takes faith. Make sure it happens, and you make it happen. And we could just elaborate on so many things. Here's a young person. They're saying, you know what? If I'm going to get married, I got a chance right now. I'm going to make it happen. Doesn't matter if it's God's will or if it's not God's will. So I'm going to make it happen. And they throw away God's will for their whole life because they can't wait. Because they can't have faith. They throw it away. We could say just so many other things along that line. You know, in this world, there's a lot of temptations. There's plenty of people who, when they think about salvation, they think, nope, if I get saved, I have to get rid of this job that I have. I won't be able to sell booze. I can't print pornography. I can't be involved in this kind of shady business. Nope. You know, you got to take care of yourself. Nope. I'm not accepting Christ. How to avoid losing God's will? Don't put the physical needs of life ahead of God's will. It's a real temptation in life, isn't it? To put the physical needs of life ahead of God's will. You know, I would want to say that not only is this important for young people, this is important for parents. It's important for adults to understand these principles. You have children they need to guide in life. Number two. So the devil takes Jesus up on the top of the pinnacle. And, we're going to skip ahead because I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Verse 7. Jesus said, it is written, verse 6, and the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto Jesus, if all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, let's think about this. All the kingdoms of the world. You know, when the devil tempted Adam and Eve, he became the god, little g, of this world. And he has the ability. He does own the kingdoms of the world. We would like to think Washington, D.C. is owned by God, but it's not. It's not owned by God. We'd like it to be, but it's not. They might have the Ten Commandments on the Supreme Court building and depiction of Moses giving the Ten Commandments and the multitudes of those kind of depictions, but God is not the owner of Washington, D.C. But the devil is. The devil is the god of this world. And he said to Jesus, you know what? If you'll worship me, just look at it. Look at all the kingdom. Look at the lights. Look at the beauty of the kingdoms of the world. All that glory, I'll give it to you right now. All you have to do is decide that you're going to worship me. And if he, of course, he worship Satan, well, then he can't go to the cross. He's not our Savior. There is no salvation of mankind. And so he said, Jesus, hey, take the shortcut. Why wait? Why wait to get all the kingdoms of the world when you can get them right now? Why wait? Take the shortcut. Get them now. You know, the devil is all about people taking shortcuts. He wants Christians to take shortcuts. He wants lost people to take shortcuts. You know, the devil waters down the gospel in these mega churches, and he tells people, hey, you can have the world and God at the same time. You don't have to repent. You don't have to turn from sin. You can have all the things of the world, and you can have God at the same time. That's a nice shortcut. Only that gives emotion, a religious feeling, but it doesn't give the new birth. Take a shortcut for God's will. You know, he'll say to people, the devil will say, hey, you don't need to get saved. Just start going to church. Just start going to church. Go to church once in a while. Fix up your life a little bit. That's all you need. Doesn't matter what kind of church you go to. Go to a liberal church. Just, you know, take a shortcut. The devil's taking shortcuts. Well, let's put it in a different way. You see, the devil wants you to avoid the difficult and get it the easy way. He wants Jesus to go to the cross. Man, die on the cross and bear all the sins of the world? We can't imagine that darkness of that moment, those hours. We can't imagine that. We can't imagine what Christ went through when he had. But the devil said, hey, you know what? You don't have to endure all that. You have to endure the pain, the rejection, the separation from the Father. I'll give those kingdoms to you right now. Take the easy way. Take the easy way. You know, that's exactly how you can lose God's will, is decide to go the easy way. Decide to take the shortcut. You know, this world is so full of shortcuts. So many Christians are taking shortcuts. So many Christians are trying to do it the easy way. You know, I remember a very critical time in my life. I was in my second year of seminary. I was a youth pastor of a church that on high days, we had high days about 800 or 900. And with our bus ministry, we had between 100 and 150 junior, senior hires. And I was a youth pastor. And the head deacon of the church said, you know, Ron, you shouldn't be wasting your time going to seminary. Anyhow, it's a cemetery. You shouldn't be going there. We need you right now. You have a tremendous ministry right now. You could do all that you'd ever want to do right now. And he said, you need to quit seminary. Yeah, seminary, that was a tough job. It was 100 miles away. I had to travel at least once or twice a week after church on a Sunday night, or I mean, well, actually, it was not too bad situation. We didn't have school on Mondays. So I could go do all the church work on Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Then Monday night, leave late, and then go to school Monday, Tuesday. Sometimes I went back on Wednesdays. And we were able to do what I need to do on Wednesday at church and go back Thursday morning, Wednesday night to church. It was kind of tough traveling all those miles and having the angels keep me awake. But, you know, I almost quit. I almost quit. I came this close. In fact, I remember the morning I came to school. And I came to school. I announced that I was not quitting. The professors were shocked. They thought for sure that I was done. That was one of the most important decisions in my Christian life. The devil wanted me to quit. He wanted me to take a shortcut into the ministry. I would have never been able to be prepared for what God had called me to be if I had taken the shortcut. I can't imagine how inadequately prepared I would have been for the ministry if I had taken the shortcut. The devil's into shortcuts. And the devil's into shortcuts in young people. Take the easy way. Just take the easy way. Don't go for the real thing. Just take it halfway, partway. Don't give it everything you got. Do a little dab. You know? Do a little dab. Do it the quick way. And then you lose out. You lose out on all that you could have gained that would have prepared you for the rest of your life. And you know, people who do shortcuts try to teach their children to take shortcuts. And they both lose out. The devil wants us to avoid the difficult. That's what he wants us to do. Avoid the difficult. Avoid the hard way. Avoid God's way. If any man will follow me, let him take up his cross and deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The new Christianity is a Christianity without the cross. The new Christianity is the Christianity without self-denial. The new Christianity is a Christianity without the rejection of the cross. The new Christianity is the Christianity of pleasure and have the world and God at the same time. That's all of the devil. The devil is about causing people to take the easy way, take the shortcut. And you know, maybe you're a student and you're just sliding through school. Let me tell you something, that's the devil. Anything where you are giving less than your best in God's plan is the devil's temptation for you to lose God's will for your life. How many young person has put the physical instead of the in front of God's will? They say, oh, I got to have money, I got to have money, I got to have money. And they have never end up doing God's will. The third thing, he says, In verse 6, he said, if thou wilt be the Son of Man, cast thyself down, took him on the pinnacle of the temple. For it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, it's true. Jesus, the Son of God, if it would have been God's will for him to jump down off the temple, the angels would have rescued him and kept him from being injured and dying. That's true. But it wasn't God's will for him to jump down from the pinnacle of the temple. The devil proposed it, though, because he said, if you would jump down from the pinnacle of that temple, everybody would see it. And they'd say, certainly this is the Son of God. Let's worship him. Instead of being called a glutton, a wine bibber, a friend of sinners. Instead of being that person that is hated by the religious leaders, you could have the applause of the men and the people right now. Why go through rejection? Why go through mislabeling and persecution and the cross? Hey, have everybody worship you right now. Get the world's applause. And get it now. Get the world's applause. And get it now. Get the cheap acceptance. Versus those few who would turn from their sin and receive you as their Savior and love you forever. Cheap acceptance. The world's applause. You know, that's a real temptation, isn't it? Get the world's applause right now. And get, you don't want to be misunderstood. You don't want anybody to think ill of you. You don't want anybody to treat you like they treated the Lord Jesus. Get the world's acceptance and get it right now. That's a real temptation of life, isn't it? It's temptation for preachers. Take the corners off the Bible. Make everybody love you, so to speak. That's a temptation for young people. They say, you know what? If I follow Christ, people are going to think I'm a weirdo. If I follow Christ, someone's going to call me a Bible banger. You know what? I don't want that. I don't want that. I want everybody to be my friend. I don't want people to think ill of me. I want them to pat me on the back. It's real. It's real. Everybody has that crossroads somewhere in their life. Somewhere in their life. Whether it's a relative. You know, especially someone who gets a first generation Christian who gets saved. What are the relatives going to say? Yeah, I know what they're going to say. They're going to say you're crazy. That's right. You know, there's a temptation. You get out of there. The devil says, you want the world's applause. You can't live without it. Still true today. Most problem is most Christians, a lot of Christians, you know what they're doing? And teenagers do it. Kids even in this church. You know what they do? When it comes time to make a decision, whether they're doing it physically or not, they're going like this. What are they going to do? Oh, what are they going to do? Oh, what are they going to think? Right? Still today. And it's the devil's way of getting people away from God's will. Very effective. On the other hand, a positive truth. How to make sure you're in the God's will. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And here we have some principles, some truths that are especially true of the believer, because that's the context. But so that you understand that what we're talking about, in the last part of verse 2 of chapter 12, it says, and the verse says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that. In other words, result, or so that, in order that, resulting in, we could say, that ye may prove. In other words, prove by experiencing it. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now here is the result. It says this is the result. That following these actions, implementing these truths in your life, you will experience the good and the acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. That's a great thought. How many people today, how many people in the world even know that God has a will for them? Nonetheless, to know that God has a perfect will. Nonetheless, to know that God's will is good. Nonetheless, to know that God's will is well-pleasing. Everything about it is wonderful. How many people even know that? Of course, the devil's trying to tell people that God's bad. And that, you know, if you did God's will, that'd be certainly terrible. You know what I mean? Oh, that'd be terrible to do God's will. I mean, that's all the way go back to the Garden of Eden when the devil said to Adam and Eve, you know what? God, he's really mean. And, you know, he doesn't want you to eat of that tree of that knowledge and good because he's keeping something from you that you really need. You really need to eat that fruit. Because if you eat that fruit, which was a big lie, he said, you'll be like God and you'll know good and evil. Well, there's a little bit of truth there. Yeah, they would know good because they wouldn't be able to do it, and they would know evil because they'd experience it. But he says, God's keeping something from you. And he's bad. And so don't follow God. Don't obey God because God isn't good. And that's exactly a problem that we all of us have. We think that God is bad. Well, we really don't, but we do. We say, you know what? I'm not going to really obey the Bible because if I do, that's going to be bad. Something bad. There's some things in my life that I think are really better than doing God's will. And, you know, God's will is bad, and therefore I better not do it because the result is going to be bad. And really what we're saying is God is bad. But he says God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Can you think of a better picture of life? Being in the center of God's perfect will? And so he says, there's these principles. He says, chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Trying to make a long sermon short, what are the principles? He says, if you want to be in God's will, you need to surrender. You need to surrender. You need to surrender your life to God. Didn't say surrender part of your life. He didn't say surrender what you want to surrender and keep what you don't want to surrender. He says, I present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, there might be some part of your life here that you won't surrender to God. Maybe it's your time. You say, my time is my time. Maybe it's your abilities. And you say, my abilities belong to me, and I'm going to use them how I want to use them. They're not going to be totally made available to God. Or maybe we could say, well, I'm at the end of my life, or whatever we say, or, you know, we could say, you know, my treasures, they're mine. I'm not going to surrender them to God. There's some part of our life that we say, I'm not going to surrender. Well, positively, the Bible's teaching us, if we're going to experience God's perfect will, which the devil wants us to put those things first in front of God, if we want to experience God's perfect will, we need to surrender our life to God. We need to say, God, here's my life. Everything that is about my life, it's available to you. Surrender. Now, actually, young people, it might be easier for you to surrender your life because, you know what? You probably don't have too many treasures by now. Probably you have, just a couple bucks in your bank account or none. Wouldn't be too hard for you to surrender your life. But yet, you got all your life ahead of you. Oh, that's big, isn't it? All your life ahead of you. You say, no, just remember what the devil's saying. I don't want you to experience God's perfect will for your life. Put your physical, put those needs ahead of God's will. Surrender. You know, maybe you've gone through a difficult time in your life. And you know, how do you get through it? I tell you how you get through it. You re-surrender your life to the Lord. Maybe something happened in your service for the Lord, and maybe you weren't appreciated like you thought you should be. Maybe you weren't recognized the way you thought you were seen. Maybe somebody just did you bad. And you said, you know what? That's it. I'm going to roll up in my cocoon, and I'm going to just protect myself the rest of my life. You know what you need to do? You need to think of Jesus. He knew what they were going to do to him on the cross. He knew they were going to betray him. He knew that all the applause that they gave him, they were going to retract it and they were going to say, crucify him! He knew what hurt was going to go ahead of him. And you know what he said? He said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. He gave himself anew and afresh to the Father. Need to surrender. Need to surrender your life to God. And say, God, here's my life. It doesn't matter how I've been hurt. Lord, here's myself. I'm going to trust you with my life again. Give it back to the Lord. Surrender. Sometimes that surrender needs to be. Many times it's a crisis in our life. Where we say, Lord, here's my life. Many times, and most of the time, it requires continual surrender. In our daily life. Here's a need. Okay, Lord, I'm available. Sometimes, like I said, it's a crisis and we need to renew our life. Lord, here's my life once again. Surrender your life completely to the Lord. Your time, your talents, your treasure, your future, your time, your daily life. Secondly, what does it say? And be not conformed to this world. And be not conformed to this world. There's important truths here. The word conform is an interesting word. It's the word play act. And what it means is don't be influenced by the world. So even though you are a Christian on the outside, you are looking like the world on the outside. Even though you're a Christian on the inside, you've allowed the world to influence you. So now on the outside, you are conforming to and looking like a lost world. Don't be conformed to this world. The word for world there is the word age. It refers to the thinking of the day, the isms of the hour. What is it saying? It's saying if you're going to find God's will for your life, you need to separate yourself from the thinking and the world's hold on your life. And you need to outwardly in every part of you identify yourself unashamedly with Jesus Christ. This is a very significant step. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world's thinking influence your mind, influence your life. Shake it off. Be distinctively Christian in every part of your life. But then it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Now, of course, Ephesians 4:24, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Talking about the Bible. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting, changing the soul. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, the Bible says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Being transformed by the truth of the Word of God. Letting the Word of God come into our mind and using it as a filter. Get all the trash and all the junk and the world's lies out of our soul that defile us and cause us to instead live like a Christian, live like the world. It says, be transformed. Be transformed by obedience. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. The transformation that comes when we obey. The transformation that comes when we serve. When we transformation that comes as we do the will of God. Transformation. You know, it's a great thing. I've said this many times, but it's so true. If Christians would just obey the Lord, their life would be changed. If we would obey the Lord in every area of our life would be so transformed. We'd never be able to recognize ourselves. Obedience. These are great truths. And then it says that ye may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, when you obey God, when you obey His Word, when you're letting the Word of God fill your mind, as you separate yourself from the world, you know what? You're walking down life, and you look up, and you say, wow, this is great. The will of God is wonderful. You know, the world is doing all this stuff to find happiness, and they'll never find happiness. They're buying this, and they're buying that, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and they're wrecking their body and their mind, and they're trying to find happiness. But you know what? You don't find happiness by finding it. You find the joy of the Lord. My picture is kneel at the cross. Kneel at the cross. And then open up your eyes and look around. Man, this is great. This is great doing the will of God. Oh, it doesn't mean that it's all, you know, flowers. There's a lot of thorns. But God has a will for your life. God has a will for your life. And it's a great thing to be in God's will for your life. It's great to be able to like the Apostle Paul and say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Yeah, it's the grace of God. It's a miracle of God. And we can only say, thank you, Lord. But the will of God is wonderful. But you know what? The will of God requires that we do not allow the devil to take us away from His will by putting the physical in front of the spiritual, by causing us to take shortcuts in our life rather than taking the long cut, the hard way. By seeking the applause of men now rather than the praise of our Savior someday when we meet Him. Yeah, the devil would want us to get out of God's will or to not even be in God's will. Don't listen to the devil. Maybe you're at that point in your life like I was 42 years ago. Seriously considering to take the shortcut. Maybe some people are even foolish Christians are encouraging you to take the shortcut. Don't do it. Don't do it. Instead, anew and afresh, surrender your life to God's will. Surrender all that you have. Make all that you have available to the Lord. Make it all available to the Lord. The rest of your life. Make available to the Lord your life to His plan, and that you will do all the preparation that it takes to get in the center of His plan and be prepared for His plan. And that you'll give your life right now to doing everything you can to prepare your life for His will, so you can be a prepared person. Surrender your life. Separate from the world. Be transformed by obedience in our everyday life. And somewhere along the path, you'll look up and you'll say, the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. And you'll thank God for His Son and for His grace and the privilege to be able to be in His will. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You today for the great truth we find in the Bible. And Lord, these are real truths for everyday life. The people of God face it. All souls face these issues, whether it's about receiving Christ as Savior, turning their life to Him, whether it's following Him. Lord, I pray that You'll give grace today that their victories be won, Lord, today. Oh, God, give grace for that one who has retracted, gone back into the cocoon, protecting themselves, Lord. Help them to say, Lord, I give myself to You again, Lord. Here I am. I'll serve You. I'll serve You, Lord. Lord, pray for that person that's facing the issues of what it costs to come to Jesus and what the world will say and what the devil will lie about. Lord, bring them to faith, complete faith. And the Savior is a good God, is a good Savior. And so, Lord, work in our midst. Some, Lord, may need to get the world out of their life. You'll take away the holiness of their life and prevent them from being used of You. Others, Lord, that walk of obedience, of transformation, whatever it is, Lord, what might You work in our life? As our heads bowed and eyes closed, you hear today, you say, Pastor, I know you'd say this, Pastor. I know you'd give invitation on this. Yes, I know I need to before the Lord. Otherwise, we would just kind of walk out of here and think it was a good sermon, maybe not do anything about it. You say, you know, I do need to surrender to the Lord. I've been holding back. Or maybe purposely you've withdrawn. Maybe you're a young person and you say, you know, Lord, I've not given my life to the Lord. I'm afraid that God's will wasn't good. Maybe some of these other issues, shortcuts, the flesh, the applause of men. Say, the Lord has spoken my heart today. There's definite action I need to make in my life. A correction, perhaps, but also a positive of surrendering my life anew and afresh to the Lord. God has spoken to your heart today. And by uplifted hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. I've made a decision today by the grace of God. Okay? Amen. Number of different hands. Okay? Praise the Lord. Others, I can put those down. Others, the Lord is speaking to your heart. Okay, amen. Okay, amen. Praise God. How about you? The Lord is trying to speak to my heart. Oh, man, we can be so hard and stubborn. The Lord is good. Don't believe the devil's lie. God's will is great. Perhaps you're here today and say, you know what? I can sense the real battle over my own soul. I can sense that there's this spiritual battle. I sense that even though I don't really know much about it, I have a sense there's a battle. A yes, no, about accepting Christ. And I can see that there's something behind it. The devil would want to work on my own soul, keep me from putting my faith in Jesus Christ. And you see that God is a good God, a loving God. Coming to Christ is the greatest thing you could ever do in your life. You say, Pastor, you know what? I need to come to Christ. I need to receive Him as my Savior. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what the devil thinks. I want to know for sure that Christ is my Savior and I'm on my way to heaven. Could you pray for me? I sense the battle in my life of this decision to turn to Christ. Anyone here today? Raise your hand. I might to pray for you. Lord, now I thank you today that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's true, every ounce of it. These are great truths that we looked at. And Lord, we thank you for many today who raised their hands concerning what you're trying to do in their life. And Lord, among them, I am sure there are some huge decisions. I trust that it will bring great glory to you. Give great grace. And Lord, if there is resistance in the people of God to what you're trying to do, Lord, I pray, God as a sovereign God, you will give grace for your people to surrender and not listen to their flesh and the devil. Now, might you be glorified in the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.